is the same as the excuse that underlies right-wing talk. It's not your fault that your life sucks, they tell their little right-wing robots and automatons. It's not your fault that your life bites. It's somebody else's fault. It's that dark-skinned guy. He's taking your job. Look at that. Look at that. Look at the Mexicans at the Home Depot. They've got your construction job. It's the same thing, isn't it? You know, a 3-year-old child isn't sick because she's got a virus. A 3-year-old child is sick because a demon entered her. It is the same thing, and it has the same disastrous results. Time after time after time. Because figuring out what the real problems are takes real work, and it takes real introspection and real self-examination. If you think the Mexicans have gotten your jobs, it's not because of the Mexicans. It's because you've got a right-to-work law in your state that has priced labor so low that an American family can't be supported on it anymore. Low wages? Really? Unscrupulous contractors? Wait, I'd have to think about that. It's demons! You see how it works? Do you see? This is the slippery slope that we've been sliding down since approximately Ronald Reagan. You know, our friend Kevin calling in a little bit ago mentioned if Jimmy Carter had gotten the second term that he deserved. And what a string of ifs that opens up. Because if Jimmy Carter gets reelected, then Ronald Reagan is too old and clearly insane by 1984 to run for his first term. So the nominee is who? Phil Crane? George H.W. Bush? And Walter Mondale whips George H.W. Bush. Badly. Oh, Lord, someday we're going to get that time machine, and it's going to get really interesting. Exorcisms. We need an exorcism. Unfortunately, the real exorcism that we need requires due process of law and things like impeachment proceedings. Do you think if we told fundamentalist America that George Bush had a demon and we were going to do an exorcism on him in the House of Representatives and the priests were going to be the members of the United States Senate, that then we could impeach him? I don't know. Now, from the Democratic side of the debate, a comment from Bill Richardson. This is from a couple of days ago. Pleasant Hill, Iowa. Democratic presidential hopeful Bill Richardson has said that he'll give higher Homeland Security funding considerations to states like Iowa because of the importance of food safety, agriculture, and transportation to the nation's well-being. I read things like that. I've got a box of broken things here, and it just keeps piling up. And my toes stay perpetually sore from kicking things. He would give higher Homeland Security funding considerations to states like Iowa because of the importance of food safety, agriculture. You know, Governor Richardson, I appreciate that you're trying to talk to a terrified people, but maybe if we start talking common sense to the American people, we might actually stop some of the problems that we have. Because our food problems are not brought about by Al-Qaeda. Our food problems are brought about by Monsanto and ConAgra and Archer Daniels Midland. There was an article today about frankenforests and the genetic modification of forest trees. And whether it's forest trees or food or genetically modified milk or cows giving milk, these are all recipes for environmental disaster on a grand scale. You know, biblical famine, biblical plague. Governor Richardson, said anti-terrorism funding should be risk-based, and he believes Iowa could be a top 10 state given its strategic location at the intersection of two major interstate highway systems and its role in supplying the nation with food and now energy. Now, ethanol is an entirely separate conversation about foolish government priorities and choices. And it'll go into the whole food number two field grade corn debate that has overtaken number two field grade corn has overtaken the cornfields of the country like kudzu takes over telephone poles in the South. Can't eat it. Doesn't taste good. Ain't good for you. High fructose corn syrup is quickly being identified as a leading cause of the diabetes outbreak in the American population, but we need to grow more. For those of you who enjoy tequila, the tequila fields are being the agave azul fields are being cut down in Mexico to plant number two field grade corn to make what? Ethanol. Jesus. It goes on and on and on. Please, Governor Richardson, let's talk some reality. Let's talk about what happens when you don't regulate the food industry and you don't have inspectors on site from the USDA and some guy says, you know, we're behind on the shipments and we got to get that case of beef stew and that lot of potted meat out. You know, all right, turn it off. It's cooked long enough. Turn it off. Nah, it won't be any botulism in it. Can it and ship it. We got to talk about that, not Al-Qaeda attacking the weenie plant. Agnes says we'll take a break. I do what Agnes says. A couple more things to wrap up with. A real horror story from a First Amendment horror story. It's just a horrifying kind of night, isn't it? Okay, we'll do that. This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hello.
Hey, Al.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Al. This is the Vice President.
Mr. Gore, we need you for president.
We deserve a president we can respect.
We deserve a president we can respect. Who has experience.
And compassion.
Who is the most qualified.
Who is a proven leader.
Al Gore. Right on Iraq. Right on global warming. Right for the 21st century.
Join us at DraftGore.com and supporting Al Gore for the Democratic nomination for president.
Sign the petition at DraftGore.com.
Paid for by the committee to draft Gore. He won once. He can win again.
There's a hole in the world tonight. There's a cloud of fear and sorrow. There's a hole in the world tonight. Don't let there be a hole in the world tomorrow.
Let's finish up this evening. Finish up this evening in Asheville, North Carolina. Passed through there one time. I know I've got friends who have gone and stayed for more than a pass-through. It's one of the most beautiful places in the southern United States, Asheville. But it's also a place in the southern United States, so you know that it's going to have some skeletons in the closet. And those skeletons came out and danced in full view in the last few days. In the last week, this story centers on Mark and Deborah Kuhn, K-U-H-N, Mark and Deborah Kuhn, upstanding, law-abiding, decent citizens of Asheville, North Carolina, and they have been plunged into a living hell. Mr. and Mrs. Kuhn, who are late 40-something, early 50-something. The story is at citizen-times.com. There's a picture of them. They're just so normal-looking. They object, Mr. and Mrs. Kuhn do, to the Bush administration. They object to the war in Iraq. They object to George W. Bush, and who in their right mind doesn't? And as an act of protest, they've got an American flag. And as an act of protest, they flew their flag upside down, which is, of course, noted as a sign of distress. I've got a little one of those static, sticky plastic flags on the windshield of my car upside down. I've said that I will remove it when George W. Bush is removed from office, because that will end my distress. Asheville is in Buncombe, somebody help me, County, North Carolina. Now, they have a sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department has a sheriff's deputy named Brian Scarborough. And Brian Scarborough is a fairly recently returned Iraq war veteran. He's also an armed-to-the-teeth sheriff's deputy, as I noted. Well, the Kuhns were flying their flag upside down, and people and earlier a city cop had come by and said, "Is there a problem here? That's a sign of distress." You know, Jesus, it's a sign of distress on the high seas. Okay, that's what happens when the ship is sinking. You run the flag up upside down. It's a political statement, officer friendly, okay? But they had other questions. Why are you flying the flag? What are you doing to Old Glory? And so what they did is they made two signs on, just printed them out on their little printer on 8.5 by 11 copy paper. One says, "It is a distress signal. Help your country." The other sign says, "The upside-down flag is not a sign of disrespect." And they pinned those two signs to the upside-down flying flag. Are you having a hissy yet? Is this causing palpitations or night sweats? So, it's flying there when Buncombe County Sheriff's Deputy Brian Scarborough goes to their home on Brevard Road about 8:45 a.m. Wednesday to investigate a complaint of an American flag on display after being desecrated. Because, you see, North Carolina has a flag desecration statute that says, it shall be unlawful for any person willfully and knowingly to cast contempt upon any flag of the United States or upon any flag of North Carolina by public acts of physical contact, including but not limited to mutilation, defiling, defacing, or trampling. Any person violating this section shall be deemed guilty of a Class 2 misdemeanor. To report flag desecrations, people can call the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office at 255-5000. That's 255-5000. So some little right-wing thug called it in. They're desecrating, oh, glory! Oh! And so Sheriff's Deputy Brian Scarborough goes to the home, opens the door, and tells the people that they're desecrating their own flag and that, that he's going to issue them a citation, at which point Mr. Kuhn closes the door to get away from him. Now, the sheriff's deputy says that they slammed the door on my fingers and the glass busted out when they done it. And it cut my hand. The coons say that they closed the door and went away from him, and at that point he drove his fist through the glass to get in and follow them. And that's when he attacked Mr. Coon. And that's when this happened. And that's when this happened.
Hi, we've got an officer here that is violating our rights and we need some assistance. We're at 68 Brevard Road, please.
Hold on for the police.
Officer, we are getting help.
I want to get my family.
That's fine.
I know.
Leave my husband alone.
Police Department, what is your emergency?
Yes, we're at 68 Brevard Road, and we've got an officer here that has broken into our home and is violating our rights.
The click you hear at the end is Sheriff's Deputy Brian Scarborough hanging up the phone. After that, the attack continued. They ran out into the streets, Mr. and Mrs. Kuhn did, crying for help from their neighbors. The sheriff's office said a struggle ensued when Scarborough followed Kuhn back into the house. At that time, Deborah Kuhn also struck Scarborough in the face, authorities said in arrest reports. Scarborough called for backup and five squad cars responded. Kuhn, 43 years old, said, he came after me and I fought him back. After I got out of his hold, I ran outside. Is this the part where we cue up Lee Greenwood's I'm Proud to Be an American, God Bless the USA, and we all sing it together? This is so, so disturbing, so wrong, and so a picture of the America that the Republican Party wants to create, in which dissent is squashed by the heavy hand of the law. She ran into the street screaming for help from her neighbors. Neighbors came out and started screaming at the police, telling them to leave their neighbor alone. They threatened the rest of the neighborhood, too. Welcome to America. Let's go to the phones. Hey, who have I got?
Hello there, Bob. How you doing this evening? This fine, fine southern evening here in the great state of North Carolina.
Colonel Clampett?
Colonel Clampett, that's right. Mr. Bob, it's been a while. It's been a while. I had to go on had to have a respite care thing going on there.
Yeah, too far. I understand. You got
the. The Democrats, they won that Congress, and I believe I had me some kind of.
Plumb into the jug, didn't it?
And well, one might put it that way.
And couldn't
you know
get
how, you ever set a glass down there on the porch railing and you go inside for a minute, you know, perhaps to slap your wife or choke the child, whatever it is you're gonna do. You come back out and you see a fly swimming in the glass there. Well, that's what happened to me, Pop.
You were the fly.
I was the fly. Yes, sir, Mr. Bob. I ended up being the fly for a little while, but I fought my way up out of that glass and decided that the world is still in good shape as long as Michael Savage is on the air.
You can't like a Yankee like Michael Savage.
Well, he's got a little bit of a twang to his accent there, but we know he's got to be really from the great state of South Carolina. Yes. We're gonna talk. We ain't gonna talk. I don't believe he could be from North Carolina.
Well, see, I thought he was a Northerner. I had him pegged for Virginia, Colonel.
You know them Virginians stole the rest of us out, don't you, Bob?
That's why I said what I said.
That's Robert E. Lee about Appomattox. He anyway. We ain't gonna get into that tonight. But I just wanted to tell you, Bob. I even though I disagree heartily with your views on Mr. Savage, I got to tell you that you've done a good job there of refuting his ideas. It seems to me, though, Bob, that you got to have a Michael Savage, well, you know, so one can have a Bob Kincaid.
Well, you know, Mr. Savage does make me feel eminently sane, Colonel, and I appreciate your kind words. Now, I know where you're calling from. Don't play with me, Colonel. What are you people doing down there, rousting people for flying their flags?
Which flag are we referring to, Bob?
Old Glory, the one that applies at present.
Well, you see, Bob, we operate under the stars and bars principle here, and one can't fly the one flag without having allegiance to the other. You have to understand, it's sort of a schizophrenic. That's a big word for me today. It's sort of a schizophrenic idea, but nonetheless, it seems to work. The other thing too is we have this unwritten code here. I don't know about any other city in these 48 states. It is 48 in the park.
We won't talk about the other two.
Okay, we won't talk about the other two. But they anyway. We also have an unwritten code here that the races must be separated by separated by realtor agents, Bob.
By realtors.
By the realtors now. Now, we used to do it by using the police, but see, the water cannons, we had a shortage of water, so we decided...
And the vicious dogs.
Yeah, so the vicious, well, they wasn't really that vicious, Bob. You just had to be the right shade. Let's just put it that way.
Colonel, I wish you hadn't called in so confounded cotton-picking late. We run out of time.
We run out of time, Bob. Well, we're gonna have to do it again.
We'll do it again real soon because I want to find out what in the gosh darn world is going on in Asheville, North Carolina. It's just crazy.
Well, there's a sovereign state all by itself. We know North Carolina does not claim Asheville. Neither does Tennessee. I think they need to create their own state over there.
You may want to. We got to roll.
All right, my friend. It's good to talk to you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening,
Colonel. You're welcome anytime. Take care.
All right.
Bye now. And we're over the limit, and we're over time. And Strictly Confidential is next. And I thank you, Agnes. And I thank Ben Birch and the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and RMR. Gina, it's all for you. You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. A tentative agreement has been reached this morning, ending the walkout by 73,000 auto workers nationwide. The accord makes retirees' health care the responsibility of the union. Chaos in Myanmar's capital. Police are beating and tear-gassing Buddhist monks and thousands of other anti-government, pro-democracy demonstrators. At least 4 deaths and 100 injuries have been reported. 300 have been arrested. Haiti, Myanmar, and Iraq are the most corrupt countries in the world. That's according to the latest global survey by international anti-graft agency Transparency International. The least corrupt, Denmark, Finland, and New Zealand. It is the worst such disaster in Vietnam's history. South of Ho Chi Minh City today, a bridge under construction collapsed, killing as many as 60 workers and injuring 150. The Agence France Press Service reports nearly 170 Taliban have been killed in battles in southern Afghanistan within the past 2 days. An unknown number of civilians also died in airstrikes. 1 NATO soldier was killed, 4 wounded. In Iraq, suicide bombings today killed at least 15 and wounded dozens. Authorities say recent attacks have targeted provincial and tribal officials. The UN says cholera, rarely seen in Iraq before 2003, is spreading rapidly throughout the country. 2,000 have been diagnosed, another 30,000 thought to be infected are being tested. Ahead of next year's elections, the Supreme Court will review an Indiana law requiring voters to show photo ID, like a driver's license or passport, before being permitted to cast a ballot. Opponents say the law discriminates against the elderly and poor. Proponents say the law prevents illegal immigrants from voting. The U.S. Supreme Court has also agreed to consider the constitutionality of lethal injection as a method of execution. 10 states have already suspended the procedure as cruel and unusual punishment. Despite the court's announcement, in Huntsville, Texas, a 49-year-old convicted murderer was executed by lethal injection last night. Another execution is scheduled for tomorrow. In St. George, Utah, a jury has convicted the leader of a Mormon polygamous sect as an accomplice to rape. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking. Now, are you banking or are you just talking?
I'm doing both.
Well, that's part of being at a local bank, isn't
it? Exactly.
But it has all the benefits of a big bank.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, they help me out with all my banking needs, the whole nine yards.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
Well, I think that's the most important. It's full service, and it's like a family-style atmosphere in there. And that was one thing that was very, very attractive to us.
Certainly, yeah, because I don't like to go to a bank and stand in a long line and have to wait and then have some grumpy teller say, okay, another customer.
Yeah.
But they're happy to see you.
You're putting money in, you take money out.
I put it in. Yeah, my wife takes it out.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
California workers this morning launched the most expensive effort to date to rid the state of an invasive species. Thousands of tons of poison are being pumped into a Sierra Nevada lake to kill northern pike. A University of Hong Kong study shows patients with signs of heart disease are at nearly double the risk of also having colon cancer. Fast food chains Hardee's and Carl's Jr. have signed an agreement with animal protectionists to buy eggs and pork only from farms that ban keeping animals in cages or crates. Burger King signed the same agreement earlier this year. Kansas City federal court has ordered Vonage to pay Sprint Nextel $69.5 million in damages. The court found the Internet telephone company had infringed on 6 telecommunications patents owned by Sprint Nextel. Amazon.com has unveiled its answer to Apple's iTunes store. Called Amazon MP3, online customers may download some 2.3 million songs without copy protection technology. Songs cost less than a dollar. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.49 a barrel. Gold, $739 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 53 points, the NASDAQ up 13, the S&P 500 up 5. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Keep me
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America. Welcome to Verse 1, Chapter 1, Page 1, and Book 1 of a completely new show on the Head On Radio Network, Strictly Confidential. I could not be happier to be here. Can you believe it? I just don't know how we managed to pull it off. The Head On Radio Network has actually given keys to a sparkling, brand new microphone that can be heard around the world.
I'm wearing a new dress.
If I've told her once, I've told her 1,000 times, this is not your show. There are a lot of new listeners tonight, and I want to tell you a little bit about the network and a little about myself. First, I'm a total computer geek. My computer is by my bed. I mean, I roll over in the middle of the night and check email and maybe look at a site, or who knows. But anyway, it's always within arm's reach. I watch movies on it, the whole bit. So in doing a radio show, you have to have your computer. Well, I was unwilling to move it from the bedroom. So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University T-shirt and my pajama bottoms. Oh, please don't tell. This is Strictly Confidential, after all. And on my bed to my right is this huge Yamaha mixer, and behind it is a compressor of some sort. It manages to get the stream ready to go out. Headset microphones, it's just really amazing. Doggy is staring at me right now because she's thinking I'm talking to myself, and she's maybe thinking of moving along the board. Yeah, I have to thank John Fox. John Fox is golden. That man, if you looked up audio engineer in Wikipedia, John Fox picture really should be next to it. The man's incredible. We had all sorts of weirdnesses going on setting up the audio for this thing. And John, from Australia, gets on a three-way conversation with myself and Bob Kincaid up in West Virginia. And without ever having seen this mixer, he knows where all the settings are. He knows where all these myriad number of knobs go and turn, and he knows all about the settings in the compressor. And voila, we have good audio. John, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your doing that. Just wonderful. You know, I was listening to Bob's show, and there was a fellow called early in the show. His name was Alan, and he was talking about the concept of it takes a village to bring up a child, and how controversial that was when Hillary said it. And I believe he said that a dozen people helped him along and helped him grow up and gave him, that's what we're here. That's what we're doing with this show. This is what gay folks don't have. This is what gay kids don't have. Now, in the full analysis of it, being gay is about as important as being right-handed. But as long as we're being murdered over it, as long as we're being denied our civil rights over it, as long as children are growing up in this country thinking they're alone, I'm making it my business to talk about it, whether it's you consider it. And here's another thing. I know we've got some of those right-wing lurkers. I've seen them on some of the message boards, and they post things like when I was first becoming involved in the network, they were saying things like, he's a proud queer. Jesus Christ. I'm as proud of being a queer as you are being left-handed, you jerk. So, anyway, I'm so pleased to be here. I honestly am. Having a voice on this particular network, it's really a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful thing especially for us gay folks. We've been without a voice for so long that most of us have basically taken the attitude of to hell with it. They say to us, and we sure as hell don't need them. and we've been kicked to the curb so hard, our feelings of not belonging have become, well, to put it lightly, extreme. A voice on this particular net. You know, thank you so much for stopping by, Patti LaBelle. I played your records, and I sure just thought it's just very nice of you to do the extreme for me. A voice on this network. Yes, that's where I was. There are new listeners, and I'm going to take a moment why having a voice here is so darn important. And it's because the Head On Radio Network is very, very different from talk radio you've heard on other networks. We do not call the Head On Radio Network conversation radio for nothing. Now, when you hear a caller to this show, or for that matter to any of the other shows on this network, you're not going to hear some kind of frantic, rushed thing where they're trying to get the caller through to just fill up the breaks between commercials. It's the commercials that drive it, not the callers and not their ideas. You know, it's bad enough that what passes for a president in this country can only speak in sound bites. We don't do that here. Our goal is to give callers the same respect that we would give a scheduled guest or a scheduled interview, and we believe that this present darkness can be changed one conversation at a time. Good Lord, I'm starting to turn into such a serious old man. Well, don't worry. I have a soft, chewy gay center. It's just covered with crunchy coat of deadly serious. And, by the way, I don't suffer fools graciously. Well, you know I'm going to hit it. This story has been around since, I believe it was June the 8th, the story first broken. By now, I think by the 14th, it was on Leno, and I just did a Google news search on it, and it's on every news. The whole world has taken it over, but I want you to know we were covering here before any of those people were. And the thing is that if you have not heard about this story, you think I'm making some kind of a joke, but it's absolutely not a joke. And very briefly, if you haven't heard about it, here's a little summary of it. There was a Berkeley organization, and they track military spending, and they uncovered a military proposal to create a bomb. Now, the purpose of this bomb was, it's a chemical bomb, it was to drop hormones and aphrodisiacs on enemy troops and turn them into homosexuals so that they would rather have sex than fight. This is insulting in several ways, one of which is, and not the least of which is, it's to insinuate that gay people cannot fight. Sounds like the basis of Don't Ask, Don't Tell to me. They expected that the wouldn't be a long-lasting thing, but they, they requested $7.5 million to research this weapon. Now, honey, I can tell you can do that with a couple of six-packs. Don't ask me how I know that. But accomplished purpose of a gay bomb, I'm old enough to have had a past. In any case, the Air Force was denying that this was ever any kind of a issue or any sort of a long-term project. They were saying, we just brought it up and we didn't really, we weren't really going to pursue it, that sort of thing. But, of course, that's a lie. The truth of the matter is that it was taken to the very highest level scientific review within the military. And just supposed to turn them all gay. They're going to all break down, because, gay guys can't fight if they're all gay. So they'll all be having, sex with one another. The thing about it is, I guess the U.S. Air Force doesn't realize how picky even horny gay guys are. So they just didn't get it that this was just the depth of how stupid it was. And the very idea of a gay bomb seriously weakening the cohesion of a unit and perform some sort of manly issue. Why don't they just drop Hillary Clinton on the troops? I mean, she'd turn anybody gay. And, the military is just in love with this sexual macho thing. They're always show the naked soldiers, and the sailors, and they're showering together, and they want to increase that air of anxiety. And if you're a homosexual, you can't possibly, they want to turn the military into some kind of a huge, hot, military-themed gay orgy. you know, I share that fantasy too, but, you know, at least I know it's called gay porn. I'm really just telling you a little bit too much here, but, you know, this was the huge story, and I'm telling you about it because, and that's it, the nutshell. If you missed it, there are some links on at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. Did I hear someone say strictlyconfidentialradio.com? I could have sworn I heard someone say strictlyconfidentialradio.com. Mommy, why does that man keep saying strictlyconfidentialradio.com? I don't know, sweetheart, but if he says strictlyconfidentialradio.com one more time, we're going to turn him off. In any case, there's some links there to the Head On Radio Network's early coverage of the gay bomb story. And I'm really just so proud of my straight brothers on this network. You know, the Strictly Confidential show was not airing. This news broke. It broke last week. And so I didn't have a voice, but I want you to know the straight hosts, they were all over it, buddy. John Fox was just beside himself with the absolute absurdity of it. And Bob Kincaid, he was brilliant. He was discussing the depths of, you know, how evil and intrinsically immoral the whole thing is. And Dr. Bill, as usual, hit the whole thing on the head. And way to go, guys. It really felt like, you know, having big brothers. And that you guys went out and you kicked butt and you took names and you were defending our right to just breathe on this planet. And, you know, if you missed their rants, if you'll go to strictlyconfidentialradio.com, you're going to find a little section there called Gay Bomb Coverage on the Horn, and it's audio links to those specific parts of their shows. You don't have to, you know, thumb through the show to locate it. I think you're going to be absolutely awestruck at how outraged straight folks were about a gay bomb. And the interesting thing about it is it was all for the right reasons. Love those guys. And also I bring it up because I want you to know that even though Strictly Confidential is specifically a GLBT show, all of the Horns hosts are gay-friendly, and they're lesbian-friendly, and they're friendly to all the colors in our rainbow. And every show on this network is that way. You can, you folks can pull up a chair and relax. You're never going to have to worry about the other shoe dropping. We're family here, and I sincerely mean that. Now, of course, the Strictly Confidential show is the most fabulous show on the network, but you're welcome here 24 hours a day. You know, I guess we're just going to have to get used to those outbursts. You see, every time somebody opens the front door of that gay bar across the street, we get a little slice of heaven blowing through here. So thank you, guys. Maybe they'll just prop that door open one night and we'll just listen. That would be fun. But, you know, even though we're family around here, every family has its little rivalries. And, you know, even though the straight guys were astounding and they defended us, you know, to the core. You know that set the keys to a brand new radio show. I'm wearing a new dress, Thank you, Patty. Nobody can do it like Patty. You know, I guess I over one night I used to play her music. Well, anyway, I DJed in some of the most wonderful gay clubs in the country.
In the gutter.
The gutter?
The gutter. It's a night spot. I work there my nights off when we weren't making much money. I put on cheap and tasteless outfits, not nice ones like this.
Yeah, I guess I'm wearing one of the cheap ones now, sweetheart. You know, Memory Lane is an interesting place to go. Love that movie, by the way. That was clipped from, that's the movie that has Suddenly Seymour. If you have not seen it, she belts that song out like there is no tomorrow. You got to see Suddenly Seymour, and it's called Little Shop of Horrors, oddly enough. And don't you, where was it? Yeah, the we're going to outdo these straight guys. Us gay guys, especially an old DJ like me, we got to outdo these straight guys. But the soundtracks that they played on these stories. Now, I heard them play in the Navy by the Village People. You know, we want you, we want you, we want you as a new recruit. Very good, very, very good. And clearly, it's not going to be easy outdoing them. And I heard them use Copacabana by Barry Manilow. Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. Yellow flowers, Lola. You know, these guys, these straight guys picked out some good music to go with the gay bomb story. But, you know, they're going to be tough to beat, but I was intent on doing it. So first I considered...
I'm just 7 hours old. Truly beautiful to behold. Should be told my libido hasn't been controlled.
And I thought, nah, we can do better than that. And so I considered
voices. Let's see.
That's good. That's good. But it wasn't going to win. I knew it couldn't top their songs, and it still just was not diva quality. So I thought about...
Whatever happened to Fay Wray? That delicate, satin-draped frame as it clung to her thigh. How I started... to cry, 'cause I wanted to be dressed just the same.
Fabulous. But it's just too sad for a gay bomb story. So I crawled around through the tracks of a stack. There are tracks on the records in the stack, at the farm, in the bar. And I crawled around through the stacks of 12-inch singles. By the way, honey, they don't call them 12-inch singles for nothing. And while I was roaming around in those 12-inch singles, I had a eureka moment. And I found the definitive track for the gay bomb story. And so, my darlings, as the evening falls over the enemy camp, and the golden blaze of sunshine plays over their tents, as the subtly fragrant gay bomb mists drift down upon the unsuspecting soldiers, a U.S. Army DJ specialist begins the evening entertainment.
You're looking hot tonight.
I know it's funny. I had a huge laugh over it myself. But the reality is we're talking about further attacks on a country that never attacked us. It's a country where parents don't look anymore to see if the newborn is a girl or a boy. They look to see if that newborn is normal. They do that because birth defects are rampant. And they do that because the entire country is covered in radioactive dust from our use of depleted uranium bombs. Gay bomb indeed. Jesus wept. You know, I'm going to do one more bit of information here before we take some calls. You know, for a long, long time, the best place to spot a right-winger was on the front steps of Fundamentalist on a Wednesday night, or driving an 06 SUV with a Bush 04 sticker on the back. But lately, they've been spotted in Boston. One of the church ladies demonstrating for killing our right to marry, she actually crossed the street. She crossed a street, mind you, to slap one of us who is demonstrating for our right to keep what is ours by just the virtue of having been born in this country, the right to marry. And it's going to get worse. These attacks from the fundamentalists are going to get worse. They're going to get much worse. And they're going to get worse because they're going to become increasingly irrelevant. They will become increasingly irrelevant because this is being discussed. And there is no logical argument against giving us our rights. As long as they had us in the closet, as long as they could keep everybody from talking about it, they were a sure win. But it's out in the open now. There's no way they can win. They don't have an argument. So anyway, it was a stunning, hard-fought victory there in the State House in Massachusetts. The bill was intended to roll back our civil rights, and it was defeated by a vote of 151-45. I want to repeat, especially for the gay folks listening, the lesbians, and the bisexuals, the transgendered, and all you sweet people. We won. 151 good guys to 45 bad guys. We won. It's amazing, really. And our battle for the right to marry goes back a very, very long way. I have some audio from 1971 as an example. And this goes back to New York City. New York City's clerk's office there was threatening to sue churches that were performing gay marriages. Now, that would mean the Metropolitan Community Church, because they were the one. And I remember that well, because I was deeply involved with MCC at the time. And, by the way, tomorrow night's guest is the Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson. She's the moderator of MCC, and moderator is as high as you can go in MCC, unless your name happens to be Jesus. So the Gay Activist Alliance were protesting this, and they staged a wedding reception in protest of the city clerk's threat to sue the churches. And the city was making slanderous statements also. And here's the clip. In the first audio clip, a police officer is telling activist Arthur, there at the county, the city clerk's office, rather. He's telling him, you can't come into a private office and disturb them. This is a private office. Now, mind you, this is the city clerk's office. It's hardly private. Arthur Anderson, or I so need an investment team. Arthur Evans replies that this is the gay community of New York. This is not about making appointments. We are here demanding the retraction of this slander, and we're demanding that the clerk represent gay people that pay taxes, and we're not going to take no for an answer from anybody.
You can't come into a private office.
That is the gay community of New York. This is not a question of making appointments. We are here demanding retraction of this slander, demanding that he represent gay people who pay his taxes. And we are not going to take no for an answer from anybody.
No, honey, that has got to be a scary sight. This man says, we are the gay community of New York. Now, honey, I don't know about you, but I do not want the gay community of New York angry at me knocking on my door. I know it was a little bit hard to hear, so I'm going to read that to you again and ask Bob to run that clip again. And just briefly, the police are telling Arthur Evans that he cannot come into a private office, which it was not, and that he could not disturb the staff. And Arthur Evans says that this is the gay community of New York. It's not about appointments. We're here demanding the retraction of slander, and we're demanding that the clerk represent gay people that pay taxes, and we're not going to take no for an answer.
You can't come into a private office.
That is the gay community of New York. This is not a question of making appointments. We are here demanding retraction of this slander, demanding that he represent gay people who pay his taxes. And we are not going to take no for an answer from anybody.
Arthur Evans, a very brave man. There's one more clip of Arthur Evans. It's in the same time frame. It's in the same office. It's on the same day. It's just later into the event. In the second clip, Arthur Evans is answering the phone of the city clerk's office. They had taken over so badly they were answering the phone. Okay, and Arthur Anderson, I should really bill him. I should be paid for doing Arthur Anderson. In any case, Arthur Evans is answering the phone, and he's saying, this is what he says. He says, yes, this is the city clerk's office, but it's been taken over by the Gay Activist Alliance. And then he repeats what the caller said. The caller says, and he says, your mother wants to, and someone want to get married? And he asks, are they gay? And then there was an answer. And Arthur replies, oh, I'm sorry. We can't help you.
But it's been taken over by the Gay Activist Alliance. Your mother and dad want to get married? Are they gay? Oh, I'm sorry. We can't help you.
Fabulous. You know, sometimes turnarounds and turnabout just does a gay guy's heart so good. I'm gonna go through the statement again and ask Bob to run again. They've taken over the city clerk's office. They're answering the phones, and he says, yes, this is the city clerk's office, but it's been taken over by the Gay Activist Alliance. And he says, wants to marry someone? They want to get married? And then he says, are they gay? And Arthur replies with the statement that they had told us so many times, oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you.
But it's been taken over by the Gay Activist Alliance. Your mother and dad want to get married? Are they gay? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you.
Jesus, it's just genius. It's just pure genius. So, Massachusetts, congratulations for a job well done. And I want to tell you that one day the rest of us in this country are going to join you. And may we never forget that 36 years ago, Arthur Evans was fighting right along beside us. Massachusetts, this one's for you.
If there's anyone here who knows why these two people should not be joined together, let them speak now, or forever hold their peace.
And they'll never be lonely anymore. We're going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married. Gee, I really love you, and we're gonna get married. Going to the chapel. Going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Oh, Toto, talk radio never sounded like this back in Kansas. Here's Peter Godbold on America's liberal voice, The Horn.
I am having a great time tonight. I've got to tell you, this is just great fun. It's a little confusing. There's a lot of knobs. I'm not used to it all. But, you know, God bless the Head On Radio Network. You guys have really opened the door for all of us. And you folks, I really want you to come to headonradionetwork.com, and I really want you to click on the chat room, and I'd really like you to